Your Bibles, please, for our second reading to Ezekiel chapter 44. Ezekiel chapter 44, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Then he brought me back by the way of the gate of the outward sanctuary, which looketh toward the east, and it was shut. Then said the Lord unto me, this gate shall be shut, it shall not be opened, and no man shall enter in by it, because the Lord, the God of Israel, hath entered in by it. It therefore shall be shut. It is for the prince. The prince, he shall sit in it to eat bread before the Lord. He shall enter by the way of the porch of that gate and shall go out by the way of the same. Then brought he me the way of the north gate before the house, and I looked, and behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord, and I fell upon my face. And the Lord said unto me, Son of man, mark well, and behold with thine eyes, and hear with thine ears all that I say unto thee concerning all the ordinances of the house of the Lord, and all the laws thereof, and mark well the entering in of the house with every going forth of the sanctuary. And thou shalt say to the rebellious, even to the house of Israel, Thus saith the Lord God, O ye house of Israel, let it suffice you of all your abominations, in that ye have brought into my sanctuary strangers, uncircumcised in heart and uncircumcised in flesh, to be in my sanctuary, to pollute it, even my house, when ye offer my bread, the fat and the blood, and they have broken my covenant because of all your abominations. And ye have not kept the charge of mine holy things, but ye have set keepers of my charge in my sanctuary for yourselves. Thus saith the Lord God, no stranger, uncircumcised in heart, nor uncircumcised in flesh, shall enter into my sanctuary of any stranger that is among the children of Israel. And the Levites that are gone away far from me, when Israel went astray, which went astray away even from me after their idols, they shall even bear their iniquity. Yet they shall be ministers in my sanctuary, having charge at the gates of the house and ministering to the house. They shall slay the burnt offering and the sacrifice for the people, and they shall stand before them to minister unto them, because they ministered unto them before their idols and caused the house of Israel to fall into iniquity. Therefore have I lifted up mine hand against them, saith the Lord God, and they shall bear their iniquity. And they shall not come near unto me to do the office of a priest unto me, nor to come near to any of my holy things in the most holy place. But they shall bear their shame and their abominations which they have committed. But I will make them keepers of the charge of the house for all the service thereof and for all that shall be done therein. But the priests, the Levites, the sons of Zadok, that kept the charge of my sanctuary when the children of Israel went astray from me, they shall come near to me to minister unto me, and they shall stand before me to offer unto me the fat and the blood, saith the Lord God. They shall enter into my sanctuary, and they shall come near to my table to minister unto me, and they shall keep my charge. And it shall come to pass that when they enter in at the gates of the inner court, they shall be clothed with linen garments, and no wool shall come upon them whilst they minister in the gates of the inner court and within. They shall have linen bonnets upon their heads, and shall have linen breeches upon their loins. They shall not gird themselves with anything that causeth sweat. And when they go forth into the utter court, even into the utter court of, to the people, they shall put off their garments wherein they ministered and lay them in the holy chambers, and they shall put on other garments, and they shall not sanctify the people with their garments. Neither shall they shave their heads, nor suffer their locks to grow long. They shall only poll their heads. Neither shall any priest drink wine when they enter into the inner court. Neither shall they take for their wives a widow, nor her that is put away, but they shall take maidens of the seed of the house of Israel, or a widow that had a priest before. And they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. And in controversy shall they stand in judgment, and they shall judge it according to my judgments, and they shall keep my laws and my statutes in all mine assemblies, and they shall hallow my Sabbaths. And they shall come at no dead person to defile themselves, but for father or for mother, or for son, or for daughter, for brother, or for sister that hath no husband, they may defile themselves. And after he is cleansed, they shall reckon unto him 7 days. And in the day that he goeth into the sanctuary, unto the inner court, to minister in the sanctuary, he shall offer his sin offering, saith the Lord God. And it shall be unto them for an inheritance. I am their inheritance, and ye shall give them no possession in Israel. I am their possession. They shall eat the meat offering, and the sin offering, and the trespass offering, and every dedicated thing in Israel shall be theirs. And the first of all the firstfruits of all things, and every oblation of all, of every sort of your oblations, shall be the priest's. Ye shall also give unto the priest the first of your dough, that he may cause the blessing to rest in thine house. The priests shall not eat of anything that is dead of itself or torn, whether it be fowl or beast. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. So we come now to Ezekiel 44. We have that first section, verses 1 through 3, about the east gate. Remember in the last chapter, chapter 43, the glory of the Lord returned to his temple. In chapter 8, the glory of the Lord departed. Now we have the glory returning, right? That's that grand outline of the book of Ezekiel. The glory departs, the glory returns. It returned in chapter 43, and so because the glory of the Lord returned through the east gate, notice that gate shall be shut, and no other man shall be able to go in or out through that gate. That is the gate of the Lord. And then, immediately following that, in an apparent contradiction, which is not a contradiction at all, that gate shall be for the prince. He shall sit there and eat bread in the house of God and shall go in and out through that gate. Well, of course, we know what that means. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the glory. He's the one who bears the glory of the house of the Lord and will go in and out through that east gate. So the place then, remember this is that expanded vision of the New Testament church in prophetic understanding. And so the place where the Lord Jesus Christ dwells, that is indeed the house of the Lord. Where his, as we said a couple of weeks ago, where his mediatorial glory and regalia is on full display, that is the house of God. And so the prince sits at the east gate where the glory of God had gone in and out, because we behold the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, according to the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. So it is a prophecy then of the Lord Jesus Christ dwelling in and among his church. Of course, we know that already because the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You see how all of these lines congeal here in Ezekiel chapter 44. It was Adam's sin that shut up the way to God. The cherubim were set at the entrance to Eden, the place of communion, the place of trysting with God, if you will, the place where God had communed freely with man, that was shut up by the cherubim with a flaming sword, but no more. No more. Now the east gate is open, and it is indeed according to the prince that the people of God come in and out. All right, so then in verses 4 through 9, It's a reproof for the priests that have not kept the charge of the house of the Lord. First of all, we see on this north side that the glory of the Lord fills the house. The glory of the Lord fills the house on the north side. Why on the north side? Well, once again, the north was the side of judgment, right? When the when the Assyrians came, when the Babylonians came, when the captors came, they always came from the north. Here now, from the north, what are we beholding? Are we beholding smoke clouds or dust clouds being churned up and the enemy riding in? No, we're beholding the glory of the Lord instead. And so instead of seeing judgment coming, we are beholding the glory of the Lord, because victory is won. The glory of the Lord inhabits the house of God. He has returned to his holy habitation. Ezekiel then is instructed to mark well those ordinances as they have been presented to him. In other words, to reverence that sanctuary. So notice he says, back on the other page here, thou shalt say, verse 5, the Lord said to me, son of man, mark well and behold with thine eyes and hear with thine ears all that I say unto thee concerning all the ordinances of the house of the Lord and all the laws thereof, and mark well the entering in of the house with every going forth of the sanctuary. And thou shalt say to the rebellious, even to the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, O ye house of Israel, let it suffice you of all your abominations. Hear my commandments instead of following after your abominations. And this is as much a New Testament proposition as it is an Old Testament proposition. There are laws, ordinances, statutes that belong to the church in the New Testament age. Chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians, chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians, the pastoral epistles. I mean, Paul even gives a purpose statement to Timothy, doesn't he? In chapter 3 of 1 Timothy chapter 3. These things I write unto thee, that in case I tarry, that thou mayest know how thou art to conduct thyself in the church of the living God, the house of our Lord Jesus Christ, etc. Right? Okay. So, Ezekiel is commanded then to write out those ordinances for the people of God. Of course, there is a near fulfillment of that, right? When they return to the land, they are to keep the charge. And when the Lord makes those changes to his worship, as he does from time to time in human history by his prophet and by that prophet at the end of days, then those charges are to be kept, those ordinances are to be kept, and so on. And he will immediately then go to who has the responsibility to do that in verse 10. And so he begins to speak to the Levites that had gone far away from me. They stood before the people of God and they led them astray in all of their abominations. But notice that they are not utterly cast out. This I thought was interesting. The Lord says, they'll not be able to do that anymore, to lead my people in all those ordinances of worship. But they will indeed keep the charge of the house. And so the Lord grants or promises a reformation even upon erring ministry, doesn't he? And then he'll go on to talk about those sons of Zadok, those who remained faithful during the days of Israel's abominations, those who sighed and cried for the abominations of the house of the Lord, like we read about in chapter 9 of Ezekiel. And he said, you know what's going to happen to them? They shall stand before me to offer the fat and the blood. They shall enter into my sanctuary, and they shall come near to my table to minister unto me, and they shall keep my charge. And just in case we might be confused as to who they are, there are 13 points of holiness that these priests maintain. And all of these points, they are points that were given under the Old Testament economy to show what a faithful priest ought to look like. Now we transfer that, don't we? We transfer that to the New Testament, and we recognize again in 1 Timothy chapter 3, in Titus chapter 1, in the pastoral epistles generally, what do we have? We have all of these commandments that are due to the ministry of the word, the elders of the church, and how they are to conduct themselves in the house of God. So it's not going to be exactly the same from Old Testament to New Testament, but the principles are going to be the same. The principle of God having his house, Jesus Christ as the Son over the house, and giving the laws and commandments and statutes for the house, and that especially as it maintains the ministry of the gospel, or as it pertains to them. What kind of a man do we want in the ministry? We have a couple of men that aspire to church office, actually more than a couple that aspire to church office, but two that aspire to the ministry of the gospel. I'm currently on the phone with two or three others, or in contact with two or three others. What kind of a man do we want? Well, notice what it says here in Ezekiel 44, and we'll close with this. They shall be free from every outward defilement that disqualifies them. They shall know the difference between the holy and the profane. They shall not be overly mournful and disciplined, but they shall not also be loose. They'll know right where holiness resides, not in an austerity, not in a pietistic austerity, and certainly not in a looseness either. They'll know right where that resides, and that is in the cutting of their hair. They're not going to shave their heads. Neither are they going to let their hair grow long, right? And letting their hair grow long was a sign of being a Nazarene, right? They're not going to be overly mournful nor overly standoffish, in other words, right? They shall be temperate in all things. They shall put proper gravity upon their ministry. Their familial relations shall befit their position as a minister of the sanctuary. They shall honor the laws and judgments of the Lord to judge in his house according to his commands and his wisdom, and not according to their own and not the world's wisdom. They shall hallow the Sabbath day. They shall maintain a proper holiness, a freedom from defilement. They shall know how to cleanse themselves and to keep themselves pure. They shall seek with humility their own sins and need of sacrifice. They shall not seek the inheritance of this world, but their inheritance is in the Lord. The Lord will provide for their needs in their office, and in his eating and drinking he will maintain himself in a holy habit. He'll be temperate in all things, in other words. Well, that's a tall bar, isn't it? Those are high things. And of course, we expect not perfection in each of those, even as we read through Titus 1 and 1 Timothy chapter 3, but we do expect that to be the general tenor of the man's life. There are theological qualifications. There are moral qualifications. There are personal qualifications. And the man of God must meet all of them. And that's how it ends. So let's stand and continue praising God in the singing of psalms. Turn with me in your psalters, please.